Welcome to the Agency of the Month. This month's agency is the FAA, brought to you by ITT on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. ITT is delivering the cornerstone technology for the FAA's next generation air traffic management system. ITT, doing essential things in extraordinary ways.
I'm Ruben Gomez. My guest today is Vice President of Technical Operations for the FAA, Terry Bristol. Ms. Bristol, what does technical operations mean?
Technical operations, or tech ops, is one of four operational service units in the FAA. By that I mean it's really an area of responsibility that deals with maintaining the equipment that is in the NAS or the National Airspace System. And so technical operations is an organization that is about 10,000 people. We ensure more than 45,000 pieces of equipment and systems that operate 24 hours a day, 365 days a year at over 6,000 facilities that comprise the NAS, again, the National Airspace System. And to tell you a little bit about the NAS, what is the NAS? So the National Airspace System, it's not defined by a single component or a system. It's a complex collection of systems, procedures, facilities, aircraft, and, of course, the thing that makes it all work are the people, and specifically the people in my organization, Technical Operations. And we're responsible for a variety of things. Things that include, we really run the gamut. So we have a large number of technicians out in the field. Those technicians maintain many, many different kinds of equipment. We have navigational equipment. We have comm or communication equipment. We have radars. We have environmental systems, including power and many other systems in our buildings. We have radars. We also have a lot of engineers. We have an engineering services organization that's very large in technical operations. And then we also have many other services. We do flight check. We actually have aircraft that we send out to check from the air that they're tuned and running in accordance with our orders and standards, so that when aircraft fly into airports, things are running optimally for them to do what they have to do. We also have, again, we have program managers. So we have many programs that are operating right now in the NextGen arena, if you've heard NextGen, and so we're very involved in that as well. So, again, it's a very, very broad spectrum in terms of what we do and the services we provide.
So it sounds like you have your plate full here.
We do.
Who are the main customers of TechOps?
Oh, boy. You know, so it's the airlines. Obviously, we keep that equipment up and running so that aircraft can land safely at our airports. Also, we work very closely with our service partners, and which folks that like air traffic controllers. You know, they're the ones that are speaking directly in most cases to those pilots in the airplanes, and our folks are supporting them by keeping the equipment running day in and day out. So it's a very, very close working relationship.
Now, do you work with any other federal agencies or even local agencies?
You know, we do. We work very closely with the military. You know, obviously we have a lot of interaction with many of the different airlines, and we actually work internationally as well. We have a big effort ongoing right now down in Haiti. Since the earthquake that happened in January, I have several folks that have rotated through and actually have folks on the ground right now maintaining a mobile air traffic control tower in Haiti at that airport.
Walk me through this. How did the Haiti mission come together, and how effective would you say it's been?
Sure. Well, obviously, you know, everyone found out about the same time when that event happened. And it was actually the government who reached out to our government asking for assistance. So we were able, in this case, we had some inventory that we were able to provide support down there. We actually loaded the mobile air traffic control tower onto a very, very large Russian Antonov airplane, and it was the only thing big enough we could get that thing down there. It arrived, and it was set up within a day or so, and our technicians, and we've actually had some other key security folks from the FAA that have been down there and supporting this operation. And it's really been a great partnership effort. So right now, our folks are actually focused on longer term, what does that support look like so that the Haitians can maintain that equipment themselves. And we're working through our international offices to make that happen. But you can imagine there's training involved, there's logistics support, there's many things. But it's been a tremendous effort, and our folks have really stepped up and provided ongoing support really, you know, within a week of when that event happened.
So this is a very ongoing effort. What are some of the lessons you've learned since you set up shop in Haiti?
Well, you know, I think so we do a lot of that already within the FAA when it comes to emergency preparedness. Every year, and we're going through it right now, we're getting ready for upcoming hurricane season. And we've had earthquakes in this tree that have been very devastating. We had one in Seattle a number of years ago. So we really take that time to take a closer look at our assets that we have targeted for deploying to, you know, for those kinds of events, and making sure that our equipment is tuned and it's ready to go, and ensuring that we've got the appropriate personnel identified. Everybody knows what their job is, and it's really just another call to action, and we just really need to make sure that we're ready to go. But these things happen sometimes without any advance notice, obviously. Hurricanes are a little different. We typically can see them coming from some way out, and but again, there's a lot of work that goes into making a airport ready for a hurricane to hit, and our folks are always right in the middle of that. So,
now, speaking about challenges, from a 20,000-foot level, what are some of your biggest challenges?
One of our biggest challenges is just uncertainty. You know, we do maintain so many different pieces of equipment, and I have to say TechOps is one of the most technically diverse organizations I've ever had the opportunity to be a part of. Our folks have a very broad diversification of responsibilities in delivering the installation and maintenance service to our customers within the national airspace. So in doing that, again, we're trying to prepare for everything. We're being proactive. We don't want to be reactive. So we spend a lot of time, you know, going through the services that we provide and ensuring that we're ready to go at all times. So that's a big challenge for us. Another big challenge right now and focus is on NextGen, and you may have heard some about that. So NextGen, what is NextGen? And it really is the FAA's plan to modernize the National Airspace System through 2025. And obviously, TechOps is right in the middle of managing and maintaining that NAS. So for us, this is a really, really big deal. And the FAA is addressing the impact of the air traffic growth by increasing the NAS capacity and efficiency while simultaneously improving safety and environmental impacts and user access. So this is a big deal for TechOps, and we've got a lot of challenges in this area, and we're spending a lot of time working on this.
More on NextGen, what are some of the specific roles for TechOps?
So we have responsibility for a few of those programs, actually. And one program, for instance, is SWIM, or System-Wide Information Management. And that program is a program that will implement a service-oriented architecture that operates in the background, providing data to authorized users who publish and subscribe. And those are folks that we have agreements with that can actually receive our data. Another NextGen program that we're directly involved in the middle of is DataCom, or Data Communications. And this is a program that connects air traffic control and flight deck with two-way text and voice info. So this is a system that will really modernize and advance the way controllers talk to airplanes. And it's through data. So it's electronic. Also, you've heard of next-gen network-enabled weather, or NNEW. And so this is really around establishing the framework that will integrate the weather information for our air traffic management system. That's a program we expect to receive probably by the end of this calendar year. So that's another big next-gen program.
My guest is Terry Bristol, Vice President for Technical Operations at the FAA. I'm Ruben Gomez. We'll come back for more Agency of the Month after this.
Soon, the friendly skies will be even friendlier. The FAA has partnered with ITT to modernize air traffic management across the U.S. in an effort to cut passenger delays by more than 35% and significantly improve safety. ITT's solution uses next-generation GPS technology instead of the decades-old technology currently in use. Known as ADS-B, the solution allows airlines to fly more direct routes, saving time and more than 1 million gallons of fuel a year. That's like taking 100 cars off the road per plane each year. ITT Defense has a single focus: deliver innovative technology solutions to governments worldwide. From next-generation imaging that integrates space, airborne, ground, and soldier sensors, to energy systems that disrupt the enemy, ITT has the technology and experience to address the most pressing mission challenges. ITT Defense, doing essential things in extraordinary ways. Visit them at defense.itt.com.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Ruben Gomez. My guest is FAA Vice President of Technical Operations, Terry Bristol. Ms. Bristol, before the break, we tackled NextGen, the project to modernize air traffic control, and really how pilots fly. How visible will all of this be to me as a regular flyer?
That's a really good question. So a lot of the things that this agency interacts with when they deliver the mission are really things that are behind the scenes. So number one, again, when we talk about what NextGen is, so it's a portfolio of technology, it's policies, and it's also procedures. And again, those things are designed around transforming the NAS. So it's taking a ground-based air traffic control system to a network satellite-based system of air traffic management. Again, those are a lot of big words, but they're around improving the service, sharing of information, and hopefully simplifying the way we do what we do, which should become more efficient, especially for those airlines. And that could be a big money saver for them. When we talk about implementing NextGen, we break it up into midterm and longer term. And we focus the midterm in the 2012 to 2018 timeframe. And for us, that means that we're going to focus on operational capabilities that we can deliver. And for us, the priorities we're placing is on equipage and on avionics, such as RNAV, air navigation, and programs like that. In the longer term, which we consider at this point 2018 and beyond to 2025, our focus is going to be on building the synergy and integration with other capabilities as we realize all of those next-gen goals and programs. So you can imagine the many, many programs we have in this agency. The focus is really on getting these systems to work with each other, which really minimizes and hopefully saves the government and taxpayers a lot of money if we can capitalize on the capabilities of these systems so that they talk to each other.
This is all based on technology. What plans are there to make sure technology is safe from hackers and make sure no one can really get into the system and cause trouble?
Well, so we have, and again, resident within my organization, we have a part of our organization that focuses on information system security. And we actually work with the CIO's office, who is chartered with that security for our systems, and which is both administrative and NAS, the National Airspace. We work very, very closely together. And without going into detail, which I probably couldn't go into, we have several programs in place, and we are continuing some really detailed initiatives to ensure that we are protecting our systems from hackers and other folks that want to get in and do bad things.
Switching gears now, I understand TechOps recently conducted something called a safety stand down. Can you explain what that means and what you learned from it?
Sure. So the safety stand down, this was a really, really big event for us. And it's a part of the FAA's move to a just culture. So you know, rather than a blame culture, we in TechOps, we wanted to find a way to encourage dialogue on the importance of employee safety at all levels of the organization. So this was an opportunity, the safety stand-down. It took place over 3 days. It was between March 9th and the 11th, and the theme was protect yourself, protect the NAS. So our technical operations employees are exposed to a variety of potential dangers just in what they do every day. Things like high voltage shocks, burns, falls. Our folks are climbing radars. And they do all of that just to keep the NAS up and running. This safety stand-down focused on ways for our employees to protect themselves against these potential risks. And our folks participated in safety discussions, they received briefings, they reviewed and discussed current trending data that explained the state of employee safety within the FAA, and more than anything, we encouraged them to have open dialogue and discussion with their managers about the behaviors that were needed from individuals and managers both to improve the safety culture within our organization.
How successful was it?
It was very successful. We actually, when we were developing the program, we had representation from one of the bargaining units on there, from PASS, and I think what we came out with was a very, very strong product, and we're committed to focusing on the next one, again, working very close with labor. So it's really about building a safety culture that improves the work environment for all of our employees. And it's, you know, obviously working around equipment is, you can imagine, has inherent risk in that. But it's also just employee safety, you know, working in office environments as well. And those are things that, you know, we believe are a priority, and we want to spend time talking with those to raise the level of awareness.
So what challenges would you say you faced out of this?
Well, it's really around the multitude of things that you could cover. So we really, we wanted to, you know, target every employee for a four-hour session and during those 3 days. So obviously everybody's not doing that at the same time, but it was a matter of getting the program set up ahead of time and focusing on the things that were really most important. We had topics like electrical safety, fire protection, fall protection, hazardous communications, safety issues, motor vehicle safety. There were many, many things, and that was probably one of the biggest challenges, was just really getting the program together and making it something that would be useful for our folks in the organization. You know, the challenge is also, as we continue on, keeping the spotlight on safety. It's a priority for me, and I've committed that to my folks in the organization, and it's really, you know, let's put our money where our mouth is, and let's keep moving forward and keep safety up front and center as a priority.
And what do you think other agencies or organizations, even the private sector, can learn from something like this? Is this applicable?
I think it. I absolutely think it is. I mean, we have folks that work in all different environments out there today, and many, many office environments. I think the biggest realization was how important it was to our employees when our managers took the time to talk about this and listen to them, because they have really great ideas, and it's what we do with it after the fact to make it a program even better and stronger. So I think there is application throughout industry, and I know that there's some good benchmarking going out there in other organizations, you know, private and government.
My guest is Terry Bristol, Vice President for Technical Operations at the FAA. I'm Ruben Gomez. We'll come back for more Agency of the Month after this.
Soon, the friendly skies will be even friendlier. The FAA has partnered with ITT to modernize air traffic management across the U.S. in an effort to cut passenger delays by more than 35% and significantly improve safety. ITT's solution uses next-generation GPS technology instead of the decades-old technology currently in use. Known as ADS-B, the solution allows airlines to fly more direct routes, saving time and more than 1 million gallons of fuel a year. That's like taking 100 cars off the road per plane each year. ITT Defense has a single focus: deliver innovative technology solutions to governments worldwide. From next-generation imaging that integrates space, airborne, ground, and soldier sensors to energy systems that disrupt the enemy, ITT has the technology and experience to address the most pressing mission challenges. ITT Defense. doing essential things in extraordinary ways. Visit them at defense.itt.com.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Ruben Gomez. My guest is FAA Vice President of Technical Operations, Terry Bristol. Ms. Bristol, before the break, we spoke about your recent safety stand down. It involves getting input from your employees on making things safer for them. Speaking about employees, you manage more than 10,000 of them. So what are some of your biggest challenges and how have you improved on them?
You know, I think one of the biggest challenges really for any leader in a large, complex organization is identifying those issues that really need your most immediate attention. And for me, safety was obviously one of the very, very first things that I began to focus on and that I will continue to focus on. So, you know, that is really front and center. Like any organization, we've got some areas that we need to shore up in terms of, you know, where we have our staffing allocated or in different locations. And if, you know, we have a large number of technicians that we were continuing to keep out there and keep them in the right areas and locations. But like a lot of the federal sector, we're attriting a lot of folks. So one of my big challenges is making sure that I've got the right people in the right places and I can get enough people hired in time to make them, you know, have them support the different parts of the country that need them. And we have our staffing challenges, you know, in terms of hiring and, you know, getting folks in the door and getting them processed and trained. And it takes a long time in some cases to get technicians and engineers up to speed because, our, you know, our folks have worked for very, very long periods of time. And you gain that intrinsic knowledge just by doing what you do. It takes time to learn that. So, you know, hiring and staffing is one of my big challenges as well.
The FAA as a whole ranked pretty low on last year's Best Places to Work list by the Partnership for Public Service. In your organization, Technical Operations, what are you doing to make things better and keep good employees?
You know, I think it goes up and down the organization, and I'm aware of that data as well on the Best Places to Work list. So one of the things that we're actually exploring right now in TechOps is an employee engagement strategy. You know, what could that look like? And that's something that, you know, we're talking about. But, you know, I will go back again to, I think when we see, you know, pockets of excellence, because we have them in many, many places in TechOps, I think there's more than any one aspect to being a best place to work. And the things that I'm focusing on are creating a work environment where people want to come to work and ensuring that they have the tools to do their job, they have the equipment to do their job, that we resource appropriately so that people can do their jobs and not have to do things because there's just not enough people in the office, so they're trying to make up for someone else's work as well. Because we know we have places where that's happening. But I think that we also have a responsibility as managers and leaders to listen to our folks and provide guidance and direction, and that's what being a leader is about. So, you know, I'm aware of those statistics on the Best Places of Work list. I'm very hopeful that we're going to be able to move that metric within the FAA and certainly within my organization, and it is absolutely a top priority.
And switching gears as we come near the end of our program, what are your big goals for 2010? Anything you want to break news on?
The big goals. You know what? What I'm focused on is continuous improvement. And so for my organization, we continue to play a major role in the future of this national airspace system. And our employees are ready for the challenge of today and tomorrow. And I believe that they set the bar in terms of excellence from those technicians that are out there every day, our engineers that are supporting, and our program managers, even here in headquarters and out in some of our other locations. We have second-level engineers that support our folks in the field through a multitude of services. And all of those things you know, I think it really is a great place to work, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
That's all the time we have today. My guest has been FAA Vice President of Technical Operations, Terry Bristol. I'm Ruben Gomez.
You've been listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. This month's agency, the FAA, brought to you by ITT, delivering the cornerstone technology for the FAA's next generation air traffic management system. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Agency of the Month, Thursday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.